That beautiful psalm put to music is taken from Psalm 42. We read verses 1, 2, and 11. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I'm going to ask you to use your imagination this morning as we consider this text. Imagine, if you would, an 18-month-old little boy sitting in a family room all by himself, and he's very thirsty. And he feels this gnawing pain in his stomach and inside of him, but he's not wise enough to be able to identify what it is or where it's coming from, and certainly not how to answer that problem. And so he starts looking around for things. He grabs onto different toys and puts them to his mouth and tries to suck on some things that maybe would make him feel better, and grabs for a chunk of Play-Doh on the floor and stuffs that up to his mouth. And if you've ever eaten Play-Doh, it tastes good for a second. All the salt in it. Okay, I've never had Play-Doh. But it tastes good, and it seems at first to kind of satisfy something, and yet it actually, not only does it last, but it just continues to make the problem even worse. That little 18-month-old child that I just described is sort of a picture of us in this world and in this life. There's something inside of us that is longing for things, that's searching for something. There's an ache inside of us because things aren't right. There's something we want. There's something that we're looking for. Some people use the word yearning to talk about it, a churning, an ache inside of us. And we don't always know where it's coming from. And it can show up in a variety of ways. It can show up in this kind of yearning for relationships. It can show up in a yearning to find somebody to fall in love with and get married to. Can show up in a yearning for even having respect from people, being accepted by people, finding friends, having success in life, getting stuff, material things. It can be a yearning in us to be healthy. It can be a yearning in us for not having to die someday. There's a hunger and a thirst and an ache inside of us that basically says to us, things just aren't quite right in this world that I live in. Things aren't perfect in my life, and I want them to be. There's an ache inside of us that longs for that. We know something's wrong, but we just maybe by ourselves can't identify always what it is, and certainly not how to satisfy it. But just like that little 18-month-old child, we start to grab for things in the world that we have that we think are going to satisfy us. We put them to our mouth. We start to take them into our lives. We try to find things and reach out for things that are going to solve this craving that we have inside to make everything better. But it just never quite gets there. We try money. We try relationships, sexual gratification, alcohol, drugs, trying to numb the pain of life, food, entertainment. Can be a whole bunch of different things that we grab for thinking this is going to do it. This is going to satisfy me. This is going to make me feel better. And it's going to kind of answer this ache that's going on deep down inside of me. But just like Play-Doh, anything that we find in this world that we try to use to answer this hunger in us will never really last. It might taste good for a while. It might answer some longings in us for a while, but it never really lasts. In fact, it ultimately makes us more hungry. When I was about your age, most of you college students, I saw an interview one night. A television program, a show, had gone out and sent a reporter to the most wealthy county in the United States. It happened to be a suburb of Los Angeles. And it had the highest per capita amount of millionaires in our country. And they found a lady there who was in her 40s, and they sat interviewing her in this beautiful plush mansion, sitting right out, looking out over the ocean. And as she was talking about her life and all of her wealth and everything, and all of her wealthy friends, right at the end of the interview, she said, "You know, I can't think of a single thing that I could want to buy in my life that I can't afford." And then she said, "But there's still something missing. The Play-Doh of this life, the stuff that we try to answer this hunger with in this life, will always leave us empty." The text says, "Why are you so cast down, my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me?" Some translations have, "Why are you groaning inside of me?" He's really saying, why is my soul making so much noise inside of me, complaining about my life? That's really what he's saying. Why is this happening inside of me? When that little child's mother enters the room, she is much wiser and able to quickly diagnose what the problem is and brings the child the answer, brings him a drink. She's the adult in the room. In our lives, God is the adult in the room. He is the one that can come in and properly analyze what our real problem is. And that's the problem of sin and death and destruction that's waiting ahead of us. And he alone is the one then who can provide and has provided for us the great water of life through the message about his Son, our Savior, who came into the world as our Redeemer to pay for every one of our sins. So God can declare us completely innocent of sin. And through faith in him, knowing we are now forgiven, saints before God, that we have the wonderful hope of walking through the gates of heaven someday and living forever in the bliss of salvation. This is the great water of life that God now brings to us. And the thirst that we have inside of us, each one of us, can only be quenched by this wonderful water of life that he provides. And he gives it to us through his word and through his sacraments. And when the believer receives that, he speaks the very words that we just sang in our psalm. "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Just like a deer that's been running through the woods really hard and fast, and it finally gets to a cool stream of water, and it just has to go down and lap up that refreshing water. That's how the believer's soul is when it hears this beautiful, wonderful message of salvation from our God. In John's Revelation, heaven is described this way: Christ will lead them to streams of living water. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's pretty neat. Wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus himself in the book of Revelation says this to his believers: "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of the water of life." And so when the mother brings that bottle of fresh water into the room for the child immediately grabs it and puts it to its mouth. Someone who is thirsty and is given the water of life from God, in faith, they don't need to be invited to take a drink. Living faith inside of us, living Christians, want to drink from the water of life. A true love for God and his word will result also in a love for his sanctuary and for being with his people and for receiving his sacrament. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen.